All right, Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. We'll begin in verse 23. It says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis, from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond the Jordan." The last time we were together, we looked at the first part of verse 23, and we discussed the synagogue and what its significance was and its purpose in Jewish life. And then we also discussed the message that the Lord Jesus Christ would bring when he went to the synagogues. It tells us there in the middle of the verse 23 that he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And so now in the latter part of verse 23, what we didn't get to was his healing. It speaks of his healing there. And I'll just remind you of what we've learned many times over and over, especially in the book of Acts when we were studying that, is that the healing, the miracles performed, whether it be healing or otherwise, were always a form of divine verification, if you will. They were able to validate, lend credence, if you will, to the message that was being spoke by Jesus, and then, of course, in the book of Acts, the message that was being brought by the disciples, always able to use the supernatural to substantiate the Word of God and in the minds of those who were hearing. And so that's again, what's taking place here, I'm sure. But it's not just for that reason either. There's also a lot of reasons why Jesus would heal and perform miracles. One of those is that it's an expression of who he is. That's just what he does. He fixes things. He puts things back together. He restores and empowers and brings about good. And so it's for him to heal is just as natural for a bird to fly. I mean, it's just that's who he is. And so it's an expression of his nature, but it's also a taste of the kingdom to come. When we get to the millennial kingdom, when he reigns for that 1,000 years here on earth, it's going to be a whole different deal. There'll be no sickness. There'll be no disease. Everything will be healed to the fullest extent. And so that, you know, as he preaches the kingdom of God, that too is just a foretaste, if you will, of that. And so, needless to say, as those healings and those miracles became more and more prolific with his ministry, word began to spread and people began to flock to him. You can imagine the sense of urgency that you would have if you had some sort of ailment, some kind of disease or infirmity of some kind, trying to get to him so you could have relief. It'd be much similar to when somebody's diagnosed with, for instance, cancer. What we often hear, well, we're going to try to go to MD Anderson because that's where you can get the best care. Or if you had another disease that there was a specialty hospital in the Fort Worth area or whatever, then you would try to go there. It's similar, but then again, that's not a real adequate comparison because there's a limit to those places. And with Jesus, we know that he had not only the capacity to heal fully, but it was also in his nature to do so. It was going to happen. If you got to Jesus with an infirmity, you were going to be healed. We find no record in the scripture of Jesus partially healing anyone. There was no cripple that came to Jesus and received partial healing and then walked away with a slight limp. It just didn't happen. There's not a leper that ever came to him for cleansing and walked away with some kind of little bit of a residual skin condition. No, he was healed they were healed completely. A blind person never had to wear glasses after Jesus delivered him and gave him his eyesight back. And so his was absolute and full and completely restoring his healing was. And so the word spread fast throughout that region and surrounding area. And you have to think about, put ourselves in a little bit in that era, if you will. In ancient times, really even up to just the last couple of centuries, sickness and disease was so much more widespread, more rampant, and more deadly, if you will. Just simple infections would often result in the death of the individual because the lack of antibiotics, the infections would exacerbate till they ultimately took their life. Things that we just now would just be, you know, no big deal to us. And sanitary conditions in ancient times were so bad, especially in the cities. Medical knowledge was so limited. So when disease came in those times, it usually ran rampant until it finally had totally run its course and exhausted itself, leaving death and disfigurement and disease and disability and all those things in its past. You have to think about there was no vaccinations during those times. There were no antibiotics. There was not surgical expertise. There were no transfusions. There wasn't dialysis, and there wasn't chemo, and there was not radiation, and on and on and on we go. So what we have today is such a blessing when you think about it. It should be appreciated. We take for granted just the fact that we have simple vitamins that keep us healthier. There's no limit really to the things that we can avail ourselves to keep ourselves in good health. I've thought of this many times. The few years back when I shattered my pelvis, the reality of that is doing the research and talking. That 100 years ago, that very likely would have taken my life because of the internal bleeding, actually. But if that wouldn't have been the case, 100 years ago, I would have been a cripple for the rest of my life. They would not have been able to put the pieces back together of my main frame there. And that's just something, and we know that it came and went relatively fast in my life. And so there's just so much that we have, so many advances. But with that being the case, in spite of those advances and in spite of all that we have, and we certainly should appreciate, we should also do as these very smart people in the first century first century age did, is take our needs to Jesus. A small cold, a sprained ankle, whatever it is, take it to Jesus and show our dependence upon Him. Show that, hey, we're not just dependent upon medicine and doctors and that sort of healing. We're dependent upon You, Lord Jesus. And so we put it into Your hands first and foremost. And if we do that, we'll be as smart as these people that we're reading about in Matthew chapter 4. Take it to the great physician and you'll never be disappointed. They certainly were never. And so healing dealt with several categories of affliction. We find right here in this text a few different categories. First of all, we see in verse 24, it says that they brought unto Him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases. And so there's your first category. Of course, that could be anything from cancer to leprosy to perhaps maybe diabetes or tuberculosis or any number of things. It's just what it says. They're a disease, something that was introduced to their body, a disease, okay? Then it follows that and it says, and torments. Had to do a little bit of work to find out what that meant. And really it's speaking of pain and suffering that results from sickness and disease. Torment, the word literally means pain. And so there, obviously, he dealt with when somebody walked away from being healed, they were no longer in pain either. Another category that we see there is it says they brought to Him those that were possessed with devils. Now, I want you to notice that early in the verse, it says, unto Him all sick people, and then it begins to describe. And then demon possession comes under that category, okay? And so that tells us, as the New Testament has given us examples, of along the way is that there are mental impairments and physical affliction that finds its roots in demonic forces. Now, we got to be careful and start not trying to read into it and speculate who got what and why they got it, what demon did it, and things like that. But we do know the precedence is set in Scripture that Satan is behind sickness in many cases, okay? Now, again, we're not going to start looking for the boogeyman, but we know principle has been laid that could be the case. And so Jesus healed those things. Much of it was through demonic activity, and so the casting out of those demons would bring healing to their life, besides the spiritual healing would bring healing from whatever impairment they might have had, okay? And so a lot of the calamity in the world, I believe still today, is the result of the forces of darkness, okay? Then it names, it says, and those which were lunatic, okay? And this is really interesting. As strange as it may seem, the Greek word here that's rendered lunatic literally means moonstruck. Moonstruck. And you see the connection, lunar and lunatic come from the same root word, okay? So it literally means moonstruck. Why would that be? What's the connection there? In many ancient cultures, mental illness or any kind of convulsions, seizures, and things of that nature were said to have been brought on by the moon. They were moonstruck. Okay, you say, that sounds crazy. Well, watch this. How many times have when things got a little bit crazy, a little bit wild, and you're like, is it a full moon outside? Have you ever said that? You see, that's a residue. That's a little bit of residue that's gone all the way through the centuries to where we are today. Because it originated with this term, lunacy, moonstruck, things are crazy. And also there was connection with, through extra-biblical history and even the Bible, people with convulsions or seizures or like symptoms were said to be moonstruck, and in reality it's probably epilepsy. So there's that connection as well. Something more, rather than being the moon being responsible, it's the nervous system responsible. And so these are little things that we learn along the way that I think really they helped me anyway. So he was lunacy, epileptic, whatever fell in that category. He healed that as well. And then we find another category there is those that have the palsy towards the end of verse 24. It mentions. And palsy comes from the Greek word where we get paralysis from, or paralyzed. And it's just simply speaking of the palsies, things that fall under there would be physical disabilities, cripples, crippled limbs, limited mobility as a result of this and stuff. And so when we look at what Matthew describes here as being dealt with and the things that Jesus healed, it really falls into one of three categories: physical, mental, or spiritual. Those three categories we find there. Notice I didn't mention emotional. And the reason for that is, and I believe this, and I'm no doctor, and I certainly am not an authority, but I have a lot of experience with emotional difficulties, and then with myself or with other people as a pastor and stuff. And most of the time, I can't speak dogmatically for every person, but emotional struggles are corrected when the mental is lined out, when the spiritual is lined out, and when the physical is lined out. And sometimes that physical meaning when a chemical imbalance has been put back into balance and things of that nature, often through medication. But you get to three in line where they're supposed to be, and usually the emotional has taken care of itself. And it again, I'm not smart, but that's an observation, okay? So we don't see that category. We see mental, physical, and spiritual. So let's read verse 24, the latter part of it, very last part of the verse. It says, and he healed them. Okay, let me finish by just noting a handful of things, characteristics, handful of characteristics about Jesus' healings. First of all, he healed them directly himself. We don't see where Jesus prayed before he healed people. Now, he prayed throughout Scripture. His communion with the Father was very strong. But he does not pray when it came time to healing. Why is that? Because he's the Son of God, and he's capable, and he's available, and it would be unnecessary for him to pray to the Father for healing of this person. He has that capacity himself. And so he did so directly, usually by a simple word towards them, or in some cases it was a touch. And there were even some cases where we know that he was not even really with the person, but he spoke them to be healed, and they at a distance, at a different location, were healed. But he did it directly, okay? Secondly, he healed instantaneously. It happened right then. There was no waiting. There was no process that took place leading up to the healing or healing. I had another word on the tip of my tongue there, but it was not a process. It was instantaneously, okay? And then thirdly, it was completely. Now, it was never partial, and I alluded to that just a few moments ago, but there was never rehab afterwards. There was never therapy to be had. Home health didn't need to be called in, and things of this nature. It was always complete and done at that moment. Those things were not necessary. And then fourthly, he healed everyone that was brought to him without discrimination. When healing was, when somebody was brought to his presence, or if the healing was asked for a person, whatever the case was, Jew or Gentile, spiritual or unspiritual, rich, poor, young, old, makes no difference. Every instance, he healed them. Every instance, okay? He even healed the dead, if you'll remember, raising them back to life after disease had totally ran its course. And still, he was able to do that. And so there's no limitations with the healing of the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me just say this. He does still heal today? Yes. And we should, I think, very appropriate and wise to take every need to him and seek his healing, okay? But sometimes it's not his will. You have to understand that the age of the New Testament church, the age of the apostles, and of course the age that Jesus Christ was on the earth, that has come and gone. And so those healing miracles had more purpose than just getting that person well. Again, they were validation. They were substantiation of the message, and they were signs supporting who Jesus Christ was as the Son of God. And so that's all come and went. We have the Word of God, the full Word of God. And so healing can take place, does take place, but not always, okay? And let me just leave you with this. It's never been given to the fingertips. It was the disciples, the apostles, okay, in the early church age. But never since has it been put into the hands of a man to arbitrarily heal someone. He can pray for someone. He can be instrumental in interceding for someone. But no human being, and I don't care what you see on TV, has been given that power to just arbitrarily heal people, okay? And you show me somebody that can, and I invite them to go with me on my hospital visits, okay? Because I want to see it put to work, okay? All right. Don't buy into it, okay? But Jesus still heals, all right? Let's stand. Be dismissed. Yes, Brenda. Okay, we do. Okay. Did you get that for me? Okay.